Good morning. If you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. John 8, verses 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And if you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed."
Well, what a fine audience we have this morning, and we congratulate you on your choice to be here, because we've come for a high, a noble purpose, and that is in order that we may worship the true God of heaven, that we may sing songs of praises to him and to his Son Jesus Christ, who gave his very life for us. If you will remain turned here to John, the 8th chapter, while I make just a few introductory remarks. Do you realize what a great time we have before us here at Courthouse? So many very wonderful opportunities presented to us. Among those very great things that I'm very happy to announce this morning, Brother Reuben Southall came to me, first of all, saying that he and Sherry and Rue all want to be identified with our spiritual efforts here at Courthouse. And it has been our privilege to know the Southalls for a number of years. Reuben's mother, Bertha, just a few weeks ago announced her intention to be a part of this good work. And we're so thankful for that. More will be said in the next week or so about our building effort, just as far as the physical building is concerned. We need your help. That's one thing that I want you to know. But as we keep all of these good opportunities before us, we realize whether we're talking about the physical place of meeting or whatever aspect of the work we may have in mind, we just have one thing in our mind centrally located. We want to all be saved in heaven, and we want to save just as many souls as we can through the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have so many wonderful opportunities before us, and let's take advantage of every one of those. But if you're a visitor with us, we want you to know how very happy we are to have you. For members of the church here, I would say, follow the good example of our visitors that are with us this morning. And whenever you get ready to go on vacation, or even if your work calls you away, well, you find out where there is a good group of God's people that are meeting, who want to serve him exactly in the way the scriptures describe. And if you will make it a point to do that, then you visit with those brethren, you encourage them, and of course they in turn will be a wonderful encouragement to you. Well, what do we have before us here in John the 8th chapter? The truth, and nothing but the truth. What a wonderful thing the truth is. Have you stopped to think about the tremendous and lasting value of the truth? Well, that's what our lesson has to do with this morning, as we start off by recognizing that Jesus announces to those who believed in him, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The truth comes from Jesus. Jesus is the one who brought the fullness of truth here to earth. In our lesson this morning, as we talk about such things as the origin of truth, where did it come from? As we consider the great value of truth. But then I think most of all, the thing that I would want to impress upon the audience this morning, what should be your attitude toward the truth? How should you treat it? As we consider the origin of truth, as we think about all of the wonderful characteristics of truth, we also need to ask ourselves in this very personal way, well, what am I doing about the truth? What is my attitude toward it? What should it be? Well, let's start right off then in this very, very simple approach to the Scriptures. And we say without a shadow of a doubt, as we are thinking about truth and as we are thinking about its characteristics, we say the truth originates with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Not only do we have that assurance as we hear Jesus saying, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what Jesus came to declare. Now, you and I, we can test the very words of our Lord Jesus as we examine his teachings. Did he speak the truth? Why, every word that our Lord Jesus ever spoke, we say, we can trust that. We know that it is the truth. He came from God. He assures us over and over again here in the beginning of John's gospel that he had come in order that he might speak only the words that the Heavenly Father had given him to speak. Why? Well, because in that very wonderful prayer in John the 17th chapter, Jesus will say in verse 17, as it is recorded, "Sanctify them," the apostles of whom he was speaking, "sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." What does that mean? What is the extent of it? Well, that means, of course, not only every word that had been spoken orally by our Lord Jesus, everything that God had spoken is the truth. All of the words of the Bible are true. Oh, we know the Bible has had a lot of critics. There have been those that have said, well, you don't want to pay any attention to the Bible. It's a book of myths. And there were just so many people that were writing what they thought in it. And if you want to be progressive, if you want to move on to modern ages, well, then you need to be a free thinker. And you need to receive truth not only from, the Bible, but you can get as much truth out of the Koran, can't you? Out of the Hindu writings, out of the teachings of Buddha and so forth. No, that is not so. If you want the truth, you need to go to the Word of God. That is the way of it. All of thy commandments are truth. But in verses 104 and 105, where I have turned to in Psalm 119, these good words are found. "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Well, there we have it. The Word of God, what is it? It is light. It is a lamp to our feet. It is that which is intended to lead us and to guide us. Well, but now then, as we come to the New Testament period, we say, well, where would the truth be found today? You know, it would be wonderful, we say, if the Lord Jesus was just still here on earth and if He was speaking and going from place to place preaching, we would say, well, we will all flock out to hear Him because we know that He is speaking the truth. Well, Jesus appointed the apostles. Now, what was their purpose? What kind of teaching would they be speaking? If you would look over at 1 John, the 4th chapter, we're going to look at just one short verse. 1 John 4 and verse 6, this is what John has to say about this matter of truth. He says, we, that is the apostles, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How about that? How about that? Have you given some thought to 1 John 4 and verse 6? He who hears us, he it is who is hearing God. All right? Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How are we going to know when the truth is being spoken? There's all kinds of teachings out there in the world, aren't there? If you were trying to follow everything that preachers have to say, you just stop and think about it. Here's one preacher that's preaching one thing, and here's one preacher that is preaching another. You can be saved by doing this. You can be saved by doing the other thing. This should be the good work that you're engaged in. No, it should be this over here. How will we ever know the truth? John says, you listen to us. Do you know what that means? The writings of the Old and the New Testament scriptures, they're all true. They're all true. They are intended to lead and guide us, and as we turn to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was that preacher of truth, His words that are recorded here in the New Testament, confirmed by the apostles and the prophets, well, that's the truth. It's the truth. Let's take another step. Have you had any friends that have told you recently, well, you cannot know the truth? It's such confusion out there. There are so many ideas. How is a person going to know the truth? Jesus, do you remember here in John 8 what He said? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We can know the truth. Man can know the truth. Every person among us who has any kind of reasoning capability at all, you can know the truth. You can really find out by your study of the Word of God how you should be living, what you should be believing, what you should be teaching your children, what you should be teaching your neighbor, how you're going to act. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's one last thing that I want to mention in this section of the lesson about the characteristics of truth. And a lot of people don't like this last characteristic. The truth is very narrow. It is very, very narrow. Something is either true or it is not true. Now, what does man do? Oh, he's got all shades and all gradients of truth, doesn't he? You will find some that will say, well, the situation, the circumstances is going to depend on whether that is the truth or not. And then there are some who will say, well, you know, it doesn't matter where you look, it doesn't matter what religion you examine, there is truth in all of them. The truth is very, very narrow. Let's see how Jesus states this idea. Would you look with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter right now? And we're just going to look at verses 13 and 14 there in this wonderful Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives an exhortation. In verse 13 of Matthew 7, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Why, the truth, this truth, you see, the very truth that Jesus said he had come to deliver, he had come to give to those who would believe in him, he's saying, don't look for the easy way. Don't look for the popular way. Don't look for the way that is broad. That will lead you to destruction. You're going to be lost eternally if you go in the broad way that the majority of the world is going in. The narrow way. The way that the Lord taught. A teaching is either true or it is a lie. That's what it amounts to. Are you looking for truth? Well, you may say, Gene, what's the value of it? Why should I spend time in looking for the truth? Just reverting back to the point we made just a few moments ago. The very fact that God is the origin of truth tells us about its value. I can remember my father on the Lord's Day, after we had been to worship and we sat down at the family meal, almost invariably in offering thanks to God, he would say, "Lord, every good gift and perfect gift comes from you." Where's that found? Cindy? James 1 and verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights." Oh, we can and we should thank him for physical gifts, for food, for clothing, for family, for every blessing that... That great gift of truth, do we thank him for that? It is good. It is perfect. Jesus said, now we're back at the text. Jesus said, the truth is the only thing that can set you free. Now, if we're going to be like those unbelieving Jews, we're going to, first of all, rebel at that thought. And we're going to say, what are you talking about? The truth shall make you free. We don't have slavery. The Jews who rebelled said, we've never been in slavery to anyone. We're the children of Abraham. Only the truth is able to set us free. Free from who? Free from what? The truth is able to set you free from the devil. We studied about his great power this morning. Man deceives himself if without the truth he says, why, the devil doesn't have any power over me. Oh, no. Why do you say the things that you say? Why do you have the anger in your heart that you sometimes have? Why do you sin and give in to the lusts of the flesh? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What can it set us free from? Well, it can set us free from Satan. It can set us free from the practice of sin, but it can set us free from the guilt of sin. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son of God makes you free, then are you free indeed. We said a moment ago that the truth is narrow. But suppose that you have decided, that's what I'm going to search for. That's what I'm going to follow. I will reject all lies of mankind. I'm only going to search for and follow the truth. Do you know what it'll do for you? It will give you great peace of mind, and it will give you great assurance. Romans 5 and verse 1. Good. Good. Just look over there. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, you Church of Christ folks, you always think you're right, don't you? Anybody ever told you that? You always think you're right. Have you thought of the opposite of that? Do you want to think you're wrong? How do you know you're right? How do you know you're right about anything? How do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? You say, I'm assured of that. How do you know that baptism is necessary for the remission of sins? What makes you so sure of that? How do you know that there is only one true church? How do you know that? Because of the truth. Because of the truth. I'll tell you how folks are who have not received the truth. They're not assured of anything. They're not assured of anything. If whenever you talk to your religious friends, they say, well, you know, it's all right if you do it that way. We do it another way where I go, and both of us are right. Well, that's the the most wonderful, but the most confusing thing I think I've ever heard in all of my life. How can everything be right? Everything is not right in science. Everything is not right in mathematics. Everything is not right whenever you drive your car. How can everything be right? Whenever you decide, I'm going to follow the truth, you're always right. You're always right. If you're just doing what the Bible says, if you're just doing what God tells you to do, never mind the circumstances, never mind whatever people may pose as far as a problem. Here's a man out in the desert, and all of a sudden he decides that he believes in Jesus. Will he be saved or will he be? Never mind any of that. Just follow what the Scripture says. Are you worried about the future of the church? Well, I'm concerned about it. I hear all kinds of rumors of crazy things that are being taught. On Wednesday night, we're studying about some of those crazy things that are being taught. What is the great value of truth? It will protect you against every error. Do you remember what the psalmist said? Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Now, we know from past history that there have been, over the ages of time, all kinds of religious error that has been introduced to the church. We know about those errors. We can study about them. We can look at the Bible and we can say, that is wrong because this is what the truth says. But someone says, now, Brother Tope, I'm not so much concerned about past errors. What about the future? Suppose one of the elders begins to teach something that I've never heard about before. How can I know that's true or not? What if the preacher begins to preach something? Does this ring a bell with you? Boy, it ought to. If you've lived any period of time at all, it ought to be ringing a lot of bells. How will you be able to identify error that will be taught in the future? Error that you've never ever thought of or never ever heard of. How will you know whether something that is new to you is truth or error? The truth will set you free. The truth will identify every error that mankind has ever taught. Isn't that wonderful? All right, enough of that. Now, what is the correct attitude toward truth? How should we be feeling about it? What should we be doing about it? Well, everybody that has the correct attitude toward truth, they're busy doing something. They're searching for the truth. You recall in the record, in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, how that Paul had come to Thessalonica. There they had been persecuted to the extent that they had to flee from that city. They came down to a place called Berea, little town. And Acts 17 and verse 10 says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11. These were more fair-minded. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. There you have it. There you've got it. Oh, come on, Jesus. Don't you know how long I've been a Christian? Don't you know I've been baptized and I know far more than my neighbors know. Look how dumb they are. Do you mean I ought to be reading the Bible every day like those Bereans? I don't have to attend Wednesday night Bible study. Got a lot of good things I can be doing. If I come on Sunday morning, what's all this business about I need to come back tonight? Why should I attend the Bible classes on Sunday morning? I already know the truth. What should be your attitude, the correct attitude toward the truth? You know some truths. Thank God that you do. You don't know enough yet. You don't know enough yet. Oh, any little old test will tell you that. You can have a Bible examination for members of the church that have been Christians for 20 or 30 years, and you ask them some of the questions that you ask the 8th and 9th graders. They can't answer. What's the book of Ezekiel about? You say, well, old Ezekiel is full of as many figures as the book of Revelation is. We've been struggling here with Revelation, and some may have already said, why should I come and study that puzzle? Whenever you talk with your neighbors, now you're out there in the world. Some of you in the military, some of you at work here and there in the other place. I'll tell you what, if you're a babe in Christ and your neighbor asks you a question and you say, I don't know the answer to that, I've got to go talk with the preacher. There may be some excuse for that. Do you know what? If you've been a Christian all these years and you're still having to say, I don't know the answer, I've got to go ask somebody else, there ought to be some alarm bells that are going off there with you. Oh, I am not saying there is not wonderful benefit in those who have studied the Bible and matured far beyond our range. What I am saying is, if you know that the truth will be able to set you free, you should be doing just like the Bereans. You should be searching the scriptures every day. Love the truth. Because men have not had a love for the truth, they have received delusion. The psalmist, again, way back there in 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. That's the way David felt about it. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. We think about love. We think about loving a lot of things. Do you think about loving the truth? Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth. It may cost you. It may cost you. Whenever you hang on to the truth, it may cost you friendships. It may cost you any number of things where you're going to have to sacrifice for it. Do you remember what Jesus said here, though? There's another point. He said it like this in John 8. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That word continue is a wonderful thing. It doesn't mean you just get started and all of a sudden you find something of greater interest. It doesn't mean that you just get started following the truth and then you give up on it. It becomes the number one pursuit in your life. Well, just one other thing I want to mention about the correct attitude toward the truth. Do you know you've got to fight for it? You've got to stand up for it. Jude 3. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the disciples. Continue earnestly for the faith. I have to tell you something about me. I really don't like to fight. I steer away from it. If there is any way I can get around a fight, that's what I'll do. And on the occasions whenever I have been called on to stand up against error, boy, do I get shaky. I just have those old butterflies that are going around and around in my stomach, and I am wondering, oh, will I be able to do this? I don't care. I don't care what your personality is. Do you say, I'm a meek fellow? Do you say, I avoid controversy at work. I avoid getting into quarrels. I'll tell you one time when you're going to have to stand up and be counted. And that is when the error is opposing the truth. It just won't work then for you to say, let others take care of this. In the institutional battle that was fought in the 50s and the 60s, I saw brethren that I thought were stalwart soldiers of the cross that just caved in. They said, why should I quarrel about the work of the church? What difference does it make if we take the money of the church and we use it for unauthorized purposes? And so, brethren, just caved in. Let the preachers fight this out. You can't do that. Now, I've already said I don't know what is going to be the next error that is going to be introduced that you're going to have to study and determine what the Bible says. But I'll tell you this, there's no room for cowards. There's no room for cowards. God is judging you as to whether you are willing to stand up for the truth or not. We're getting ready to stop. Jesus said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who believes not will be damned. Either you're going to accept that truth or you're not. You can vacillate in between and say, well, I can see why we have to believe in Jesus, but I don't know why a person would have to be baptized. You think about all of the people that have never been baptized. Yes, all of those people who have never been baptized have not obeyed the truth of the gospel. What about you? Have you been hearing this same truth preached since you were a child? And yet you have said, that's not for me. Okay, you've rejected the truth. You've rejected the truth. Love the truth. Buy the truth. Stand up for the truth. Obey the truth. Would you do that right now? While we stand and sing.